Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of What the Field. I'm Emmeline.
And I am Roman. Today, we're joined by Luis LeBlanc Torres, Managing Director of Albelal Foods. Luis, thank you so much for being here with us today. And we'll be discussing Luis's work and Albelal's work in one of the most deserted areas of Spain and what they're doing in the field of regenerative agriculture.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It's an honor to be here, and well, let's start. I'm very curious about what we were going to start talking about.
Thank you for being with us today, Luis. So, Luis, tell us a bit about yourself. How did a Mexican man like you end up in Spain and work in one of the most deserted areas of the country, also in regenerative agriculture? What is Albelal Foods? Like, so many questions.
Well, this can extend a lot, so I'll try to be short. Well, I came here to study my master's in organic agriculture, and while doing my master's in organic agriculture, I was doing an internship in one of the regenerative agriculture farms in Spain, Alfonso Chico de Guzmán.
Mm-hmm. Who's been with us before in the podcast.
A good friend. So that was kind of my first approach to this new world. And well, while being there and all the opportunities surrounding the farm, I was able to get in contact and talk more with people about the association, the Albelal Association, mm-hmm. which is a group of farmers in the Altiplano of Granada, Murcia, and Almería.
So in the south of Spain, right?
In the south of Spain. Yeah. A very characteristic area with certain characteristics in terms of the amount of rainfall, the more than 1,000 meters above sea level. Mm-hmm. So it's a very specific characteristics that kind of gather all these farmers that have been working for more than 7 years now. And the opportunity arised in terms of trying to find someone that was interested in joining a movement that we will be talking more about this during the episode, but it's a movement that we are searching more for the restoration of a landscape. So regenerative agriculture is part of the framework that we have been working with Common Land Foundation, but it's a part of the job that we're doing. So mm-hmm. we are focused also in trying to inspire people, in trying to get people back to their land and to create opportunities for them. So more or less that's a brief introduction of what am I doing, what Albelal is doing, and how I ended up here.
And Alfonso Chico de Guzmán, whom you just mentioned, that we indeed did a podcast episode with a while back talking about regenerative agriculture. He mentioned a lot his efforts to regenerate the soil and reverse the desertification process mm-hmm. that's happening in this area of Spain. And so I don't want to get into the details of that too much. But what I would like to know is, what is your definition of regenerative agriculture? Because this is something that is not as easy and clear as one would assume, right?
Yeah. So it's let's say it's a hot topic mm-hmm. nowadays. I would say it's a new trend. A lot of people are starting to use it. So is it different to organic? So I think each one of us can define it, and this is my personal opinion, or the one that I have been putting together, working with the people that we are working. But we see regenerative agriculture as a tool for the restoration of a landscape. As mentioned before, we see the restoration of a landscape as a starting point for four main pillars that we work in the framework, that is the economic return or the financial return, the social return, the natural return, which regenerative agriculture and the regeneration of natural areas is also part of, and the inspiration return. Mm-hmm. So to go straight to what you just asked, Emmeline, I think regenerative agriculture for me is a way where we can give back to the land or to these farms, and it's an opportunity for giving back while also harvesting and producing food. But for us, again, it's a tool. It's a mean to achieve something bigger, that in this case is the restoration of a landscape, which is our real objective. Mm.
I think it's a very interesting definition that you're giving. But at the same time, when I'm thinking, for example, about how it compares to organic agriculture, right? Does regenerative agriculture need to be organic? Does it not need to be organic? That is one of the questions we often get from here at Crowd Farming, from many of our end consumers, because currently there's no, let's say, European-wide certification for European agriculture. Is that right? So it's a bit open-ended in a way. What is your position on that?
Well, yeah, that's a day-to-day question. So with the farmers that we work, so it's with the more than 300 farmers that we work, the least that we ask for is to be organic.
Mm. So it's like the minimum requirement.
Yeah, it's a minimum requirement to start a transition, because also that's very important. Regenerative agriculture, it's a process. It's not that you get a seal or you get a certification, or at least that's the way we see it. So we make an evaluation to these farmers, where we kind of check different aspects of the farm and how they are structured, how they work, the teams that they have, if they are balanced with the amount of men and women in the teams. So there are a lot of things that we consider and that we try to make suggestions to them on how they can improve towards this regeneration of not just their agricultural practices, but also the regeneration of their livelihoods. To say, this is also very, we need to be very careful with this, because it's not just like we are imposing something that you should live your life like this, but as we understand that it's a suggestion of best practices and it's a transition. So we start with all the farmers that want to sell their products through Abelal Foods, mm-hmm. need to be organic. This is a requirement that we asked for.
It doesn't not a need general to be. Requirement no. in regenerative agriculture.
No. Hmm. But it has a lot to do with organic started with, let's stop using certain chemicals that harm the soil and the biodiversity surrounding. So if you consider that is kind of the entry point for organic, and then you're trying to increase biodiversity, improve the land, improve the soil biome, so you're trying to do a lot of things through regenerative agriculture, I think that kind of, it's a very logical first step. But that's, again, that's my opinion. I don't want to impose something.
No, of course, but it's interesting that regenerative is not a goal per se, but it seems like it's more like a process, and it's a bit of a never-ending process at the same time, because you're always improving.
So I have to follow up on Roman's initial question. So are you saying you're against a certification, like an official seal?
Okay, so this is my personal posture. I think that certification might be impacting the possibilities of more farmers to join the movement, because it makes it more difficult, it makes it more expensive. And then I think that we need to stop judging how we are doing things, and we need to start taking action. So we need action, we need movement. So when we are starting to check everything and being very precise on, okay, you're not doing this, so then you can't sell to this price and you can't sell in these channels, I think that makes it more difficult to farmers that they have been put in a position where they are like the bad guys of this story.
Because it's already quite difficult, right, as a farmer
to be a farmer.
I mean, to be a farmer, but particularly more to be regenerative. There's not many farmers practicing regenerative agriculture today, right?
Yeah, why is that? How come they're not? Because it sounds like it makes a lot of sense and like it would have a positive impact in so many areas. So why are they not more? Why are there not more farmers practicing this type of agriculture? Or do we just not know about them because it's not as known yet as maybe organic agriculture?
Well, I think it's a little bit of everything. Like, there are no wrong questions, no wrong answers. So I think there is a cultural background that definitely holds back farmers to change, because they learned, like the farmers that we are working with right now, it's most of them are like older generation. So they have been doing the same that their parents and maybe their grandparents. So for them, like now changing, it's kind of like very confusing.
Yeah.
And then younger generations that are accepting it, that are starting to do things different, also have a different chip. And I think it's, we are going to go through, and there's where we need to be very empathetic and supportive in how can we help this transition to be as smooth as possible. And again, this is the importance of making it a process and not like an immediate thing, because it's not possible. So how can we support? At least I think that the, like, we should expect to help younger farmers, because from what I have seen, it's more difficult to change older generations' way of understanding farming.
Yeah.
And from that part is just how can we adapt that type of farming to one that can just hold and be the next step for maybe the next generation that will make the transition. So I think this cultural thing is one. Certifications, I don't want to blame them, but I think that's another part. But for example, also the market, it's something that we need to own our own responsibilities as consumers. So if we demand a certain type of product, well, farmers are going to produce that type of product. So I think as consumers, we have a very big power on what we can do to change our food system, and that would definitely impact the type of farming that we have. But this is a topic that we can talk about
and
hours.
And actually, I think it's great that you mention it, because what you're talking about goes beyond the pure agronomical nature of farming, and it's about the social implications of farming. And maybe we can touch on that, Emmeline, directly.
Yes, indeed. It would be interesting to know what the concrete social impact looks like when you change from more, let's say, conventional farming practices to regenerative farming practices.
Because in Al-Bilal, I mean, I see that there's a social mission to it because of the depopulation, the emptied Spain that is a common topic in the news lately as well. And you're fighting against that directly, right?
Yeah, well, I think I live or I can be like the perfect example. Like, we have, again, Alfonso's project, where we are now living 15 people in a village that 10 years ago there was no one living there or just Alfonso. So we can see that more young people are interested and there are more opportunities. But I think we need to also understand that rural areas, most of the times, the only opportunity that you could find there was being a farmer. And right now, after several decades of telling people that being a farmer is a lot of job, you're not going to make money, and people don't see being a farmer as a cool thing that they want to. So it's not an aspirational thing. So how are you going to convince people to stay? So I think also part of the project is how can we create opportunities where farming is the central part, because of course we need to continue producing food, but that there are other opportunities for other people that want to remain in the area, but that maybe they want to be engineers. So maybe you need processing plants, you need logistics, you need like a whole industry that can move the products that are being produced in a certain area. So I think a very important part of solving this social issue is how can we kind of like rebuild like a society where the farmer is the protagonist, is the base again. And well, I was working in a project in Mexico similar where how did we want to put someone as important as a farmer that puts the food in our table,
yeah,
like at the very, very end of the aspirational jobs in our society, you know?
Hmm. Yeah.
So how can we bring that coolness? And I think that's a very big challenge to all the people that are involved in this new food system, is how can we help agriculture be valued again as how it is, not just judging, oh, you're destroying the world, but yeah, you are putting food in our table, and how can we make it in the best way possible?
How do you think we got there?
Well, I think, again, I don't want to be like this, I don't want to judge anyone, but I think that the system got broken when we needed to start industrializing food processing, food production.
Yeah.
So everything went from, we were talking about maybe organic being more socially adapted because you need more hand labor than having a machine doing it for you. Mm. So I think when you pass on working a hectare with, I don't know, 15 people, and then you now do it with one person and a tractor, well, that kind of starts telling you why people are leaving, and also who is going to remain, the one that can pay the tractor.
Yep.
And then the one that can pay the guy in the tractor and the tractor, because the other guy doesn't want to live anymore in the rural area. So I think there's a lot of people to feed and there's a lot of food that we need to produce. But I think that there's also, and from my background, and I think also in Asia, we can have a lot of examples where we have these small producers, and these small producers produce most of the food in the world. So how can we help these small producers have a better like opportunities to, yep, to deliver their products to the big consumption areas? And I think with that we can start changing again the process. But again, it was decades to arrive to this point, and I think it will take some time to fix it.
Would you say that in regenerative agriculture more jobs are created? Because as we mentioned, similar to organic agriculture, it's pretty labor intensive in the sense of that people need to be, I know, painting tree stems with chalk or whatever, applying more organic methods as pest control, etc., which tends to be more manual than if you just spray it all over with some kind of synthetical product.
But I think the idea of what we are trying to do and what regenerative agriculture is part of definitely makes or creates more opportunities for the society. So again, it's trying to create more trying to have more players in instead of having one big player that kind of monopolizes everything and kind of controls everything. So we are trying to help small producers instead of having two or three big producers that kind of control all the land. So I think in terms of that, you can say that there are more people working the same amount of land.
Luis, in your time working with Al Bilal, have you seen any particular, or have you executed any particular actions that you saw made a real difference from a social perspective of the way, for example, okay, we implemented this initiative and that allowed, I don't know, five farmers to stay at the farm and keep selling at a better price that they would have gotten through the traditional channel? Or what are you most proud of in terms of initiatives you've undertaken from a social perspective?
I think it was a big thing. Like, start working with crowd farming definitely was something that helped us establish a base where we had the opportunity to create this direct link and to be able to tell our story. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we were struggling, even though we have a very nice story to tell, and that Indeed. We have nice products, high quality.
Big network of farmers at the end, if you said 300.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a big association.
So we have a lot of things, but sometimes we're lacking the opportunity to tell our story to the final customer. And I think through crowd farming, we have been able to be us and to really tell people what we are doing, the impact, because also, I don't know, like working with these 300 members, impacting more than 1 million hectares, not just agricultural land, but also natural areas. So being able to tell people that they are part of a movement that is impacting 1 million hectares in the southeast of Spain that have a lot of problematics with desertification, with depopulation, I think making people part of it through crowd farming has been something that at least it was the focus of, it was kind of my main task for the first months that I've been working for the company. And definitely that's something that we want to continue, we need to continue growing. But I think from now on, we will search for opportunities where people allow us to sell our products with our story, not just a bag of almonds.
It's a commodity, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's very important for us.
To connect with the consumer at the end of the day. And I mean, supporting small farmers and making sure that they also in a way have a reason and have a purpose to stay in their areas, be it a very deserted area or simply the depopulated area where there are not a lot of other opportunities. Interestingly enough, I think it could help us with a lot of other problems that Europe is facing. For example, we had a guest not too long ago on the podcast to talk to us about forest fires, like wildfires, because he's a scientist who works in fire risk prevention, and actually he said that agriculture is a factor and that the fires in the depopulated areas where the land is not worked at all anymore, where there are no shepherds, no one, is much more likely to be a dangerous place. Once a little fire gets initiated, it turns into this huge fire because there's just nothing to stop it, and the land is dry.
Yeah, well, I think one thing also that we can be very proud of is that, as you can say, like people are staying, and I think more and more young people are starting to be interested in the project. So this tells us that this, what you just explained, is like people are going to be in their hometowns and to continue working the land, and this is going to save us a lot of problems in the area. So I think it is very important, and I think we need to give a lot of credit also to Asociación Albelal, that I'm not that close to this part, but also like the inspirational part that they work with, that is how more and more people, we have people investing right now in buying new farms in the area, even though it's a very difficult place to farm. So we are finding people that are interested in joining the movement. So I think that is a very interesting part, that it's getting more and more people to be involved in the project. More problems are going to be prevented. But there's a lot of work to do. So yeah. I think it's just keeping up with the hard job. And
Luis, to wrap up, do you have an aspiring scenario where you'd like Albelal to be, or where you see regenerative agriculture in 5 years' time? And maybe you can tell us what we can do about it, we as consumers or the general population can do about it to support young farmers in depopulated areas.
I can say that this is not going to stop. I also, going back to the first question, like what am I doing here? Why did I came to one of the most depopulated areas in Europe?
Yeah.
So I came here because I think that there's a huge opportunity. And I think that we need to trust that even degraded areas have a solution. And then we need to trust that people with talent and the people that can bring solutions can find an interesting way of life. Because also after all the pandemic and everything, a lot of people were kind of searching for a change in their lives. Like they were not that comfortable in the cities and they wanted more like a countryside life, a more chill life. So I think there's a big opportunity where we decentralize a little bit. So I think that more and more people are going to move to the countryside. That will help having more people consuming directly from smaller producers. So that will kind of change a little bit the way we are consuming right now. That is, go and buy directly from a supermarket.
Yeah.
And I would just like to add, I think that we need also to find the people that are willing to be part of the change and work together. I think that's also a very important thing. We need to trust that big players, multinationals, like everyone that want to be part of this, because it can't be a steady growth. We need to change it fast. So I hope that more and more people continue to be interested in a genuine way where we can definitely reverse all the damage that this industrialized agriculture have produced. Again, without telling that there's no good and bad. It's just, it is what it is. Things happened. What can we do for moving forward? And well, again, I think, just that.
Well, Luis, I think this was fantastic to hear. Thank you so much for being with us today. I personally learned a lot. Thank you for coming all the way. I was going to say Mexico, but no.
No, not this time.
Not this time. But Luis is based in Murcia, one of the most deserted areas in the whole of Europe, actually. So it's a privilege to have you here today.
Thank you, Luis. And thank you also to our audience for accompanying us on this field trip to the world of regenerative agriculture, its social impact, and especially its impact on depopulated areas of Europe. Bye, and until next time.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.